You are listening to the Transformation Table, where we talk about God's business.
Baie dankie, Hemelse Vader, vir die wonderlike voorreg om so saam te wees. Dankie dat ons U naam kan eer en verheerlik. Dankie dat U ook alles wat ons praat, dat U dit sal bevrug, die Heilige Gees, dat het in ons harte iets sal beteken. Daarom ek bid vir enigeen wat teenwoordig is, wat enige krisis of probleem het, wat hy moet hanteer of sy moet hanteer, ons lê dit aan die voete neer, ons wil dankie sê, dat ons weet, U dra ons deur alle omstandighede. Ek wil bid dat U deur alles verheerlik sal word. Baie, baie dankie. Ons loof en ons eer en ons prys U in Jesus se naam. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Peter. Just want to greet everybody that's on Zoom this morning, and of course greeting the people that's going to listen later on the radio, on the YouTube. We've got the new YouTube channel is up, so that's awesome news. And also, of course, the people that's going to listen to the podcast, so very, very welcome. We are going to this morning continue our discussion that we had to abruptly cut off because of time constraints. There was a nice lively discussion about the servant leader heart in the workplace. And we I see Anthony is not on yet, but Anthony put the hornet in the, why do you say that, Peter, the cat among the pigeons with the slave mentality. And Henry was supposed to be bring us a lesson this morning. And you know, I'm so glad. He's in hospital at the moment. They're doing lots of testing on him. He had an epileptic fit on Friday, and the enemy is definitely trying to steal the voice. I mean, it is no coincidence that three people around this table, and it might be even more, that has been, the enemy is trying to keep them quiet. I mean, Freek that went through his cancer in his throat, Peter with his operations and his voice that's been stolen for 3 months, Henry, there's definitely a serious effort from the enemy to take these things, and luckily we know that he is powerless, and that we have served Almighty God that is not going to let this happen. And I think this ties up so nicely with the discussion this morning that I want to tackle Anthony's question out of a little bit of a different angle, if we may. And I just want to read you a little note that I made yesterday morning. I was praying about it. I'm taking a bit of a hammering at the moment emotionally with the onslaught. I don't know what is a better word, the grievous onslaught, the massive onslaught on our young women in our country, you know, and the stuff that gets on the internet, and the attack on our young girls, if I may say. One of the people that I do business with showed me some stuff, and it disturbed me deeply. In any case, but that's a discussion for another day. But while I was praying, you know, I got these words: a free man gives, a slave takes. And I think let this mull around in your head a little bit, because we're going to have a good discussion around that just now. But a free man gives, a slave takes. And the side note that I made to that was, a free man does not have to be told what to do. He does it with a joyful heart. And a slave only does what is asked, and does it because he has to. And we are referring back to the servant leader heart in the workplace. So this is the notes I made. And then Galatians 6 verse 4. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, second edition, and then we'll read the one that that you've got there. So I'll read this one. Can I go ahead? The one that I've got here in front of me. So pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. So this is a whole discussion in itself, but then it gets really beautiful. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death for their sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So, Freek, I'm just going to read that one in your version, from Galatians 6, verse 4. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sure, the same same verses and two different versions that cover so much of this. So, do you guys see where I'm going to? We were talking about the difference between doing good, and there's a couple of parts to this. The first one is be careful, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. So that is what we're talking about in the past couple of sessions about the reason why we should take our work seriously. And I'm talking about now our workplace, right? There's many meanings behind this, but in our workplace, if you do your job well, there's a blessing, a satisfaction in doing your job well, and you won't need to compare yourself to what anyone else. As soon as you do your job with a joyful heart, you are not going to try and keep up with the Joneses. You're not going to put yourself in a lot of debt because you want to show off that you have more than your neighbor. And then the very important part is, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. That is possibly the thing I try and teach the guys in my factory the most. You are responsible for your own conduct. If you make a mistake, take the responsibility for it. Take ownership of it and let's fix it in the right way. Do not try and what is the word we use in the factory? Jigga jigga. Try and maneuver out of your mistake that you made, or blame your guy next the guy next to you for the mistake that you made. But the way I'm going with this is that if you do this, what we read in these messages, and I actually brought this message to my guys at the factory yesterday morning, and we need to have a quick chat about that as well. But we do believe that this word, as Angus says, it's our agricultural handbook. It's also Henry wrote a very nice book. It's also a business handbook. It's your Raising Your Children handbook. It's your how to do your how do you do your marriage handbook. How do you be a good friend handbook. This is the handbook of all those things that is good. And if we believe that, then we take these couple of verses, and there's a lot of truth in this in these verses, and there's many things that we can take out of it. But I want to, for us, just for this discussion this morning, focus on that part where your joyful heart at work brings the prosperity. And I'm not talking about a prosperity teaching here, please, guys. But the seed that you plant, what are you going to reap? And Peter, me and you have spoken about the seed many, many times. It is such a massive, beautiful subject, and we need to tackle that as well. But the seed that you plant at your workplace, if you do your work with a joyful heart, if you look, what is the next thing that needs to get done? You know, not only do what is right in front of you that you are being told to do, but expand that into let's do it to the best of our ability and see what has to be happen next. You know, there's nothing that frustrates me more than a guy standing around doing nothing. And I walk up to him and say, "What are you doing?" "No, I'm doing nothing. I'm waiting for your instruction." You know, I want to burst into flames when I hear that, because that's not my job. I'm not here to tell you what to do. Your job is to tell you what to do. You know, figure it out. If you get there the very first day, I understand. You have to understand how we operate. The second day, you need to be 30% self-controlling. Here by day five, you need to figure out what you need to do and get stuck in. You know, I don't need to come and tell you what to do. So yes, if you guys have got any ideas about this, put up your hands. Ken, was that a hand up? Just take yourself off mute.
Okay, super. Yeah, no, it's very important what you're saying. You know, sometimes going gets tough. We need to carry on with the mission that the Lord has given us, and we must complete it. The reason that I'm saying this is that, you know, many times we get inspired by something pops into our head. And the amazing part about this inspiration is we know where it comes from the Lord. And he really gives us new ideas, he gives us visions, he gives us dreams, and he places something in our hearts. He does this because he wants us to be successful. He wants you to be successful. And the thing is, we need to be satisfied with every task that we are put to. If you read Joshua 22, verse 5, but be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to obey his commands, to hold fast to him and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. I try to be a cool boss. I really try to be a cool boss. That doesn't mean I'm a weak boss. Okay? It means I'm there to assist my staff by serving them and then putting everything I know into their lives. And by doing this has a very positive attitude. It really works. The more of you can place in a person, the more like you they become. So your standards become the standard of being satisfied with the outcome. If you understand what I'm saying there. And, you know, where does this come from? Absolutely, without a doubt, from Jesus Christ himself. So the way I look at it is this: the more you imitate Jesus and be, the more you become like him. So it's a kingdom principle. The more like Jesus, the more you perform like Jesus. The more like Ken at work, the more they perform like Ken at work. So basically, yeah, we've got to be an example, and we've got to input whatever you can into that person, because by doing that, they will become knowledgeable in many areas. And Anthony heard a little story last week when we were speaking, and he was very touched by that example of the welding and the welding machine and Richard and the way he now became a professional welder because you didn't go and buy him what he wanted, but you gave him the equipment to have what he wanted. And that is what I'm trying to say today, that John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I've made known to you. So this word is very close to my heart. You know, we have the master's mind. This means we can accomplish everything. And everything to this podcast can achieve everything they've put their heart into. And just stepping out in that, God says, I'm your friend. I'm your companion. You and I can do most things if we just, you know, obey and listen. You know? Yeah. So just thought I'd just share that with you today.
Sure. Thank you, Ken. That is such powerful words all on its own. And I've met some of Ken's people that works with him, and he's a cool boss. They love him. They love him to bits. Because the beauty, Ken, and maybe you can just confirm this for me. The beauty is, if in our workplace, as soon as you do your job, the discussion, you do your job, the guys that work with you do their job, then the discussion doesn't have to be about work. Everybody's doing their work. So I find myself in my factory walking
Yes.
around. We discuss kingdom things other than not work. Everybody's doing their work already. That part is licked. You know, it's sorted. So when we walk around in the factory floor, and I do a good 12 to 20 kilometers on my factory floor every day, so I walk around a lot. But the discussions are not anymore only work-related discussions. We now have personal discussions. We have kingdom discussions. We have, the guys will come and ask me, right? I've got many names at the factory, from boss to Menzo to sometimes not such friendly words, they ask me and say, boss, my daughter is suffering with something, struggling with something. What is your advice on this? This is not work stuff anymore. But because everybody's doing their work, we can deal with a lot of other stuff, And it changes the atmosphere. It changes because, at the same point, and I know, Ken, your if I may expose you a little bit, your biggest downfall is that Ken wants to do everything himself. Not everything himself. He just Ken does things a certain way, and it's a high level of quality work. So the guy's struggling to get there, but at least they are trying to get there. They
That's
are
right.
teaching, they are elevating themselves by trying to reach that point. And the same with me. The guys know if I get frustrated because they're not getting the work done, I go to my car. I've sent Freek a photo of my boot. I open my boot, I take my toolbox out. And then they know now there's trouble. If the boss takes out his toolbox, now things are going to happen, because we didn't do what we needed to do at the right time. But then it's opportunity to teach. And it's not only teaching how to use a screwdriver, it's teaching. There's many teachings, and that's a good, interesting point that you mentioned there, Ken. I'm going to quickly just go back to our verse. It says here, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. So we've got a principle in the factory. When a new guy comes in, right, and he gets put under somebody else to teach, because I love getting people off the street that knows nothing, and seeing them bloom. But I say to the guys, if this guy's your teacher, make sure that you look after him. Bring him tomorrow. You must bring him a Buddy Coke, or Because provide for him. Say thank you in a manner that he can see. Because if you don't pay for your education, it's worth nothing. And let the guys understand that this value that your teacher gives you is worth a lot. You know, it's his experience that he's picked up over many years. He's trying to compound for you that it's easy for you to get it and get up to speed. And, I see often, although my guys don't buy me Coke, which I'm glad about because I don't need more sugar in my body. But, there's other things. When I ask them to do things for me, it gets done real quickly, And you'll notice that, and you actually said it, Ken, that I'm not talking about the people that work for me. I'm talking about the people that work with me. There's a difference. It's a different mindset, right? You must work for yourself. And you must work with me. Yeah, and I know you do the same thing there by you. Is there anybody else that's got something that they want to add here? Please, guys, put up your hands. It's a discussion. anybody else there? So the other thing that I wanted to mention was, we're talking about that, the teacher thing. Peter, go ahead, please. You're on mute, Peter.
Thank you, Menso. I deliberately waited to give someone else a chance, but nobody put up their hands. So here we go. A very important thing. Where this thing starts is look at yourself. What you are currently harvesting reveals the seeds that you have sown.
Yes.
We are walking out the harvest of what we have sown. And so you need to start there. The whole thrust of this scripture section, it's actually twofold. The one is to don't compare what you have and what you do with anybody else. Put your head down. Verse 5 says, bear your own load. The athlete who only trains when his coach is watching will never win the prize. That's a fact. And that whole thing about being a self-motivator, a self-starter, a team player, actually carrying your load so that the team can succeed. The second point is the second thrust of the scripture to me is to spread it around. This is something that many people are not good at. Is blessing their teacher. You know, they think because they tithe, that's it. But that's not what this is talking about. This is about honoring. And I'm so glad you talk about what's it, China and Japan and these values that they have, because they've got this down to a T. This thing of honoring. The gospel, the Bible, is all about honoring, bringing honor. And so I just wanted to put that in. The current seeds, your current harvest, betrays the seeds that you have sown. And then just those two points to put your head down, focus on your own work, that the team can succeed. And then, as you were saying, while you're succeeding, you can spread around the goodness. You can spread it. And if somebody teaches you something, I mean, honestly, in real terms, take out $100 and say, you know what, I appreciate this. Yeah, go and buy yourself a cup of coffee or whatever. You know, I'm just, okay, thanks, guys.
Sure.
We need to sow seeds of honoring. That's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That seed is such a massive subject. We had our campfire weekend a couple of weeks ago about the seed, and it is sitting with me, because if you trace back everything, it is a seed that was planted. Everything that you can go through your day and look at everything good and everything that bad that happens, and you will trace that back to a seed that was planted sometimes 2 days ago. If you're having an argument with your wife, you can certainly go and look at it. You planted the wrong seed a day or two ago. Some things that you do, that is a seed that's got an origin somewhere. One thing that I'm coming very aware of in our factory is that in 2008, I was saved at a mighty men, and Anger said a couple of things, but one of the things he said, "Sir, if you are a business owner, go and make time once a week, at least once a week, in your time, not in tea time, not in before work time, but in work time, and bring word to your workers, the people that work there." Right. In your own time. It was very specific about this. In the company time. Right. And so that's what I did. Yeah. And years later, now what are we talking about? 15 years, 16 years later, I'm seeing that seed that was sown then. I'm seeing Gideon, that sometimes on the group, he comes on Wednesday mornings, and then he brings us a 15 to 20 minute word. And he's in Holland at the moment. His niece passed away, and he's been gone for the past yesterday was 4 weeks, and yesterday was 4 weeks. And we decided amongst ourselves, the guys in the factory, that we will teach each other. We'll bring word to each other. And I said, guys, if you're up for it, come tell me, and we get and I am amazed at what has happened in the past 4 weeks. I've realized that the people that God has sent to work with me is a different, they are different animals. Some have been there and changed, and some of them came, but I have very powerful, deep people with understanding of the word, and learning and teaching, and the teaching of each other has got its own very powerful part to it. But Peter was talking about preaching for 50 years. I had my first sermon yesterday, where I brought my own people a message, and this is the message, the seed, and the verse out of the Bible this morning. The point I'm trying to make is, you change the atmosphere in your workplace by planting small seeds. The harvest is phenomenal. Yeah. And Samuel, I see you've got your hand up. I just want to throw this one in again. Peter, you mentioned something very important there. That favor, that honoring your harvest honor, you put that back into the you put that seed back in, and it becomes another harvest. I wish we had the ability to have this discussion seriously. And I've thought of many ways to, how do we tackle it? Because I know guys that do business that is very successful, and I know exactly why they're successful, because they put in seed. They sow massively, right? But let me ask them, please come and tell us about it. No, the guys don't want to talk about it. It is the secret of everything. But the guys, because I mean, you understand the problem. To do that, you have to firstly say, oh, you know what? I am very clever. I know what I'm doing, and I've got lots of money, or I'm very successful. The guys are not going to do that, right? As soon as you understand this principle, it's very difficult to boast about it, right? And you're going to have to do a little bit of boasting to make this, to give this message. You see where I'm going? But I know of so many big businessmen that sow massively. I've got a friend, he feeds 5,000 people a day. Yeah. And he's been doing it for many years. I only found about it the other day, and it was because somebody let it slip. I said, is this true? He says, yeah. I said, maybe this is the reason why you've got a house in Seychelles and there's a yacht out standing outside and there's a big boat. He was bragging that when he flies there, from when he gets off the plane to where he's in the water with his fishing rod out, 20 minutes, because he gets out of the plane, through his house, onto his boat, choop, and he's out, you know, and he's doing what he loves. This is the reason why, it's not because he's a great, but he's a good businessman. But it's not because that, it's because of the blessing that comes with joyful giving. And you know, if you go back, I'm sure if you look for the seed that was planted in that successful business, and Fred, maybe you can help me with this one as well, because I'm sure you know some guys as well. If you look at that, that seed gets planted, and then they reap and they plant that seed again, and they reap and they plant the seed again, and they harvest and they plant the seed again. And every time that harvest is just getting bigger, but they are also planting many seeds. You know, Peter, we must have a talk about the different seeds, because if you plant an apple seed, you're going to, yesterday morning, I found a packet of pumpkin seeds and in the kitchen. So I quickly took it with and I put some pumpkin seeds in my pocket. And I said to the guys, I gave each one a pumpkin seed. You know, I said, what do you think is going to happen if you, I'm sure half of them went and planted their pumpkin seeds last night to check if I'm right, but they're going to see there's a pumpkin that, you know, they're going to grow pumpkins. Anyway, Samuel, go for it, please.
Yeah. Good morning to Menso and everybody. And thanks so much for the opportunity just to also say something. When Menso was talking in the beginning, it now reminds me also years back when I was employed at the South African High Commission. Now, according to the job description, it was my duty to take the garden of the residence of the commissioner neat and clean and look after everything inside the house and outside, as well as at the office. Was also a garden and general works and the houses of the officers that has been transferred in different locations. But now in the beginning, I don't know. When I finish one thing, then I don't know what is the next thing to do. And I was also in a panic. Then I have to go to the storeroom and kind of a hide. As the time go and I learn, then I see, oh, it is how things work. Because, you know, the world where I came from, although I was born again, but I came from criminality. I came from crime. I have never worked before. So now I have to learn all these things. But as years pass by, I have learned a lot, even to manage time, how important time is during working hours. Yeah, so through working, a person also gain more experience, things that you don't know before, and also how to interact with your colleagues. Maybe times that you are having during the lunch, maybe times in the boardroom, sometimes there are problems. Maybe the boss is not satisfied with the service that you are rendering. Maybe different departments. Then there is a boardroom called up. And then you are sitting there. Problems are laid on the table. Discussion starts. So all the departments. Now, I was a handyman. So I have been made understand that how important I am. So without me, yeah, if maybe the trees are not cut nicely, the garden is not in order, the visitors that is coming on the premises, what image do the embassy give to the public in general? So they have imprint also that everybody is important. Every little thing that you are supposed to do, it's important. It is taken in account. Yeah, and it was a very good experience. I have learned a lot of things that is also very helpful After 7 years, I have resigned. I have not been chased away. I have not steal anything. I was trusted, and people was not happy when I hand in my resignation letter. But I have to, after 7 years, leave the place. And I have not made a mistake. And thank you also for this discussion. As I'm sitting and listening, I learned a lot. Yeah, I will maybe also leave a little bit earlier. Yeah, there are also some other kids that I pick up for school. Thank you very much, and blessed day for everyone.
Well, Samuel, yeah, are you the bus driver for today? It is such an important thing that you're saying there, Samuel. When you leave, people are sad to see you go. Yeah. That is the key. You know that you've been successful if you're not getting chased away. You know that you are being successful in your job if you resign and you know the guy that worked with you says, okay, but let's quickly have a chat about this. Why are you leaving? Yeah, I always tell my guys when we interview for the first time, I say you must understand, in my mind, if I give you this job, it means that this is a job forever. The only way that's going to change that is if you change the arrangement that we've made. You know, in my mind, one day when I'm walking out there with my kiri, you know, and I'm want to go on pension, I'll say goodbye to you because you will still be here. You know, but don't change the arrangement that we make. You know, we make arrangement that you will come here and work hard. You will come here and not steal. Yeah, you made a good point there, Samuel. If you change that arrangement,
thank you.
Then you are deleting the contract that we're making. Yeah, and also a very important thing that you said there was that you learned. You know, you understood that job description. Remember, job description is only for the first 10 days, according to me. After that, you must take that job description, tear it up, because then you know what you're doing. Yeah. Then you need to move past job description. Yeah. The minimum requirement is a job description. That's a minimum requirement. After 10 days, you should be way past the minimum requirement. You need to start contributing and blooming and boosting the whole operation, because it is a team. It's a teamwork.
Add value. Ken,
sorry, Ken. Peter, go ahead.
Add value.
Add value, absolutely, absolutely. That is the whole purpose of the game. You know, you must start not receiving. You know, because remember, for the first 10 days, you are harvesting, because you know nothing. You cannot contribute anything, right? You have to learn, and you know, after the first couple of days, depending on when you start working, here by Friday or Thursday, there's going to be money transferred into your account. So you're harvesting your first. You're harvesting your first fruit, but you've not contributed yet. You have not earned that yet. You're still learning. And then next week, Friday or Thursday, your money gets transferred again, and you are harvesting again, but you've not contributed yet. And then you need to start contributing. You need to start getting into the game so that you can contribute, so that the seed that you put in, you can start harvesting some of it. Yeah. And of course, we know that a lot of the seed that we're talking about here is not something that you harvest. You know, if you're hungry today, you mustn't start planting mealies today. You should have planted mealies. I don't know how long a mealie, Ken, how long does a mealie take to produce? But you should have planted mealies a while ago already. You know, if you want to eat a pumpkin today, I don't know how long a pumpkin takes to grow. But you should have planted your pumpkin seed a while ago already. Don't wait. Go ahead, Ken. So you took yourself off mute. Ken, we cannot hear you, Ken. Wait.
Okay, are we back?
Lost you. Yeah, we're back.
Are we back? Sorry. Yeah, so basically, planting in the workplace is very important. You know, I don't work in just one place. We work all over Natal, so, and all the Eastern Cape. So yesterday I went to Bazana to see how my guys were doing. And it was lunchtime, and they were all sitting in their buckies on the tailgate, sitting around, just having a little chat. But, you know, I just saw that they didn't have anything. So I just took a couple of bucks out of my pocket, and I said, you know what, guys? Thank you for what you do. Thank you. You know, today's a, you know, I've come to see how you're doing here, and took a couple of rand out of my pocket, and I said, just go and buy yourself something and just have a little chow, yeah. And, you know, the joy in their hearts of just that little bit of gratitude, of just saying thank you, you know. And I went around, and you come to a point of sowing, and putting in, planting into your workplace. And by doing that, when I went around to them and I went and saw the work that had been done, I looked at it and I said, you know what? I have a good team. The guys are really pushing me. And that's, I think, is this whole thing, Peter touched on just now about the giving and the sowing. And it's really important that it's not just, just expecting, but it's, receiving the joy of your input. And it's just through that I see these guys are, you know, you can ask them anything, anytime. I mean, can you just go and do that? Can you just do this? Look, sorry, we've got a problem in Matatiel now. We've got a problem in Bazana. We've got a problem in Mount Adam. Guys, sorry, man, you have to change your program today. Can you just get in that car and go? You know, it's with joy they do it. They just get in and they open. And that's the excitement because, you know, you've built a relationship with them. And thanks back to you, all of that. The relationship and the prayer in the morning is very important to start your day. Getting around and the guys stand around and the ladies in the office and we just say, Lord, just bless this day. Let's have a good day today, with you guiding us. And that just starts it off, on a good note. And we end up having a beautiful, better day. Now, it doesn't always go lovely. There's its ups and downs, you know, it goes in the workplace. But, yeah, I just wanted to say it's good to have a team that are successful. It's good to have a team that you can depend on, and really, yeah, that's what I'd like to share with you.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. I want to agree with you there. Sometimes on Saturdays, especially when it's cold, we're a little bit spoiled here. We've got a very good delicatessen close to us. It's been there forever, and they make very good donuts. Now, you can see on my body shape that I'm partial to a donut, and you know, so Saturday, sometimes I'll go out and I'll buy a box, you know, of, you know, a donut for everyone. And I realized at some point, you know, I'm not doing it for my guys. I'm doing it because I'm enjoying it so much, because just that quick chat, you know, Simon, do you want a donut? Yes, thank you very much. And, you know, and then we have a quick chat, and one of the best lessons I've ever taught. What came out of that? So donut doesn't mean to me a little round doughy jobby. It means a opportunity to have a chat. You know, one day I have a box of donuts and I count the guys and I buy each one a donut. And little Simon from Malawi, I bring the box and he says to me, can I have two? I said to him, Simon, you can have two, but you must just remember, if you take two, somebody is not getting, and it possibly will be me because I take last. So do you still want two? He says, no, thank you. I'm just going to take one. You know, it was a lesson because remember where you came from. If you don't take it today, you're not going to get, you maybe won't get tomorrow. So you had to learn that principle of there's enough, you know, and here's another point about sowing seed. There's enough. God has got enough. You know, so there will be more. You know, if your fear of sowing is that you're not going to have tomorrow, you're making a mistake, right? God has got enough. He is the God of He has enough. No, you have to just learn to trust. Yeah. And I mean, if you cannot trust God, I don't know what you're going to do. You're in deep water, you know. But there's enough. So there will be a harvest. But you have to trust God for that harvest. You cannot trust the mathematics. You know, our business is mathematics to the third decimal. We did some calculations yesterday and we're working out. And we say, you know, this thing, we cannot make this product at this price for this customer. And I said, no, hold on. We need to do the mathematics again. And I went into the third decimal of the weight. So when we weight, work on grams, you know, I work 0,00325. Yeah. And then we start multiplying back. And I just, hold on. There's a little bit of money here. The quantity is right. The money is there. Take the order. Yeah. And that has happened so many times. But you have to be in the detail and you have to trust. Otherwise, you must put your money on the table. Yeah. Play the game. It doesn't help you keep it in your pocket to yourself. You're just going to end up with that bit of money in your pocket. You must put it out. In any case, Freya, sorry, you got your hand up. I get a little bit sidetracked. Yeah.
The whole time listening to everybody is thinking, I'm thinking the whole time about David and that spirit of David. You know, in my calling and the giant that I must face daily, coming in the name of the Lord and saying those words, I come to you in the name of the Lord. My Goliath facing the Goliath I must face every day in the prisons, crime, violence, and that most, not even people in the world, but believers, Christians, doesn't understand. If you go to the heart of crime, that is the breeding ground of Satan, mostly is in the prisons. So if you can enter there. I've got a testimony. Yesterday, I sat with the youth there by the juvenile center and recorded them. And we spoke about the TV and how they enjoy the programs or what they don't like. And one of the youngsters said to me, he said, Coach, I just want to tell you the music in the morning from 5 to 6. I play worship music for them, praise and worship on the TVs. He said in Afrikaans, he said, ek voel so my lekker die hele dag. I feel happy. I'm different. Because what does he listen to? What goes into his ears, in his eyes? What is he feeding his spirit with in that morning? Now they're actually thanking me. A few weeks ago, they wanted just to listen to their music. And I said to them yesterday, I said, what is this music you listen to? And they say the name. And I said to them, you know what? There's a channel that I can play the music for you. But you started off with this, Menzo. I said, but the videos is not good for you. Why, coach? I said, because the girls, it's like they are barely naked. How they misuse these young girls just to dance and you can almost see everything just to get views, get fame and fortune by abusing a young woman's body. That's what it is, misuse. And actually, they listened to me and they said to me, you're right. Getting them to say about their music that they love, it's a culture, you're right. It is so. But it's not all of it is like that. I said, yeah, but how does I know? I don't know the music. I don't know the artist. I don't know the video. So it's better for me to put something on that I know is good for you. And coming back to David, you know, that those 5 stones that he picked up, I've got like maybe 5, 10 stones in my ministry, in my life, that when I take on Goliath and I run onto the field to face Goliath and to fight him because I come in the name of the Lord and I know he's already conquered. Crime and violence is an act of Satan. It's a war between light and darkness. But the thing that always gets me, especially on social media, you get these souls and the brothers and the sisters, they are hiding in the caves. They're afraid of Goliath. They don't want to face Goliath. But they want to tell you how to do it. They want to. So what I want to say to you this morning, if you run onto the field to face the Goliath in your life, you must know in secret you had to get victory over lions and bears with God. You have to know. And if I look at these 10 or partners in my life, people in my life, that they don't, they, like you said, Mensah, they don't want people to know about them. But you know what? It's like some of them, or most of them will tell me, please don't advertise me on your radio or TV. I don't need more business. I've got enough. They've got more than you're saying. And if you ask them, you can hear. They are sowing. They are really people that gives. It's better to give than to receive. Like you said, they are not takers. They give us. But going running onto the mission field and facing Goliath daily, you've got these people that wants to tell you how to do it. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to other people, but don't listen to people that's hiding in the caves. Don't listen to people that's afraid of Goliath, don't want to fight Goliath. They want to give you their armor. They want to tell you how to fight Goliath, but they are hiding. They're afraid of him. They are cowards. But they are the ones making the most noise and say, you can't do it. It's impossible. The reality, a reality can change. Yes, crime and violence is high in South Africa. It's true. We can't argue with that. Corruption is high. But the truth is, a reality can change. The truth never changes. The truth stays the same. And facing Goliath, like in my own life, facing this giant every day of my life, fighting this giant. I wonder if my time on this earth is finished, they must put on my grave or what. They must say, he trusted God till the end to do what God promised. God is greater than crime. Crime and violence must be under the foot of the gospel. That's the only weapon we can fight crime and violence, is the gospel. Light is the only thing that can destroy darkness and chase darkness away. And love is the only thing that can conquer hate. So please, I'm begging you, don't listen to people in your life that's hiding to tell you how to fight Goliath. Get people in your lives, even if it's 5 or 10 stones, real rocks, aistas, that can say, let's do this. There's no way we can miss his head. There's no way we can miss the shot. But with God, all things are possible. And that's what I had in my heart this morning. Is that spirit of David saying, you are messing with us. Because this is what Goliath does. Goliath the giant does is... He's mocking our God. Where's your God? Where? Look at you. You are cowards. You are powerless. You are you are the body of Christ. You are the church of Christ. You are the kingdom of light. But you are powerless. What are you doing in the communities? A few years ago, I was invited to minister in a church there in Roodepoort, the Sunday evening. And when I arrived there, a guy met me, a young guy, with a clipboard, and he looked like he had his earphones on with his mic, and he had his program on his clipboard, saying to me, we're starting at 7, then this guy's going to pray for 5 minutes, then you've got 15 or 20 minutes to give the message. We must finish at this time. And I was looking at this young guy, and I thought, you're putting God in a box here. You want to put your program up front and say, and I know God is a God of order. And I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what must I share with these people tonight? And it just came to my spirit, ask them if this church must close tonight, the doors of this church, because they don't have finances anymore, there's no congregation, or what the reason is. If the doors of this building must close, will the community miss you? Will the businessmen run to this place and say, We need this place. You can't close it. What's it going to cost us to keep this this church open, or this congregation open, or this ministry open? What will the cost be? We will sort it out. We will make a plan, because we cannot afford these doors to close. And I could see when I asked him, if you're not here, if those doors must close this week and you have to close it, will the people around you miss this place? Will they cry about this place? Will they demand that these doors stay open? So, yeah, don't listen to somebody that's hiding when you are facing the giants in this world. And you know you're going to conquer them by the grace of God and by his strength, and because all things are possible. The battle belongs to him. It's not in our name that we come. It's in his name, and his name is the name above all names. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Amen. Rick, I agree with you. You know, I want to say in my mind when I see, I'm a picture guy. You know, the movie must play in my head. You know, if when David got onto that battleground, you know, you want to be surrounded by guys that say, Frick, did you see what that guy said? Did you hear what that guy said about, I'm going to go sort him out. And Frick is going to say, no, me first. And then Peter's going to say, no, guys, you're too young. Let me go and sort him out. And then Ken is say, whoa, guys, I've got this. I'll sort it out. You guys stand here, I'll sort him out. That's the guys that you want around you. Not the guys that say, and you understand where I'm coming from is, this is not being arrogant. Yeah, because I know that if this conversation starts, I can say, okay, guys, I lost my cool with him the first, but Peter, you've got the most experience on battling this, so you can go. You know, or Frederick, you know how his weak points is. You take them.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to get into the battle. I don't want the guys around me that hides and says, well, we cannot do this, be negative about it, or no, but let's go talk to him first. I said, no, guys, get up, talk to him first. He insulted our God.
Yeah.
There's no talking. Yeah. There's no talking. The talking is done. We need to slay this
uncircumcised Philistine.
Yeah, or let's go and speak to his mother, or let's go and look at his background. You know, this is happening today. He's a clerk.
Yeah.
You know, when you go into your prison where you cannot be unsure of yourself, those guys will smell you.
They will.
You cannot go the weak, you cannot go the full of fear, you cannot go the for your first time. You know, the freak that goes into that prison today is not the guy that started how many years ago. It's a different animal. Yeah. And if the battle has to be done, I want guys with me that doesn't hide. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Peter.
Yeah, that verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, that you will reap. And so, but there's a deception. You see, the enemy wants to deceive you. And he goes on to explain that deception in verse 8. If you sow to the flesh, if you're not the real deal, and you're a hypocrite, or you're a twegesig, they're going to know, and you're going to reap that harvest. And if you just keep sowing to the side of the Spirit. And then he still goes on in verse 9 to encourage you. And don't get tired of doing that. Even if they don't, it doesn't all suddenly change. The pumpkin takes a time. The seed must fall and die. And later, but don't forget that you've sown the seed. And don't forget where you sowed it. Because you can go and look for your harvest. There's nothing wrong with, I mean, imagine a farmer who plants a field and then forgets what he planted. In which field was it now? I don't know. We'll might just leave it. Leave it in the Lord's hands. No, we're partnering with God, and everything that we do in our company, in our work, in our life, in fact, if it's not done motivated by love and done for God, because I love God and He loves me, and because He loves me, I can love others, then there will be God will be mocked, and God will not allow Himself to be mocked. With this whole thing of seeding, just the final point, God will never allow you to put Him in a position where He owes you something. God is no man's debtor. You can sow and you can trust Him and the seed will multiply, but it's His timing, not your timing. It's His way and not your way. I often, one time, a stupid example, I needed $100 for something. And I said, oh, yeah, I lent John $100 yesterday. I suppose he's going to give it. No, I got my $100, but it came from totally a different place. And so God will not be mocked. Just keep sowing. John Maxwell tells a great story. When you start in a company or in a church as a pastor, you have change in your pocket. You don't have a huge amount, everything provided. You've got bits and pieces of change, Kleingeld. And so that Kleingeld, that change will allow you to make one or two mistakes and the company will absorb it. Or the church will won't fire you, you know. But you that change is going to run out unless you invest in it. And it is multiplying of its own. And so these are principles of God that we need to understand and operate in. Thanks, guys. Good discussion.
Yes, Peter, absolutely. There's a beautiful story of a guy that gets up in church and he's standing in front of the congregation and says, you know what, when I tell you this story, 2 years ago I was sitting here and we're talking about seeding and God said to me, you've only got R2 in your pocket, put that in the board. And he did that. And he says, that's all the money I had. And he says, today, as I'm standing in front of you, I am worth R2 million. That is my blessing. And he is very brave about it. And he smiles and he walks back to his seat and he sits down and there's an old lady behind him. And she says, do it again. Put everything in. Yeah. The question is, will you do it again? Yeah. Because, Fleek, I want to be very arrogant and contradict you. Fear is the root to all evil. Fear is the root to all crime. It is the fear of thinking that you're not going to have that you reason that you steal. Fear is the reason why you kill. Fear is the reason why you distrust. Yeah, because you have been dropped, let down so many times. So I'm not stating this. I'm opening a discussion, you know, and we could maybe have this discussion another time. I have had people that start working there, especially young guys. And you're talking about listening to people, other people's nonsense, right? I've had it more than once where I can see this guy come. He gets a job. He comes to work. And in the afternoon when he leaves, there's a question in his eyes. And one day I asked one of the guys, what is, I can see when I ask me something. He says, are you going to pay me for today? I said, yes, but I'll pay you at the end of the week. And I could see he doesn't believe it. He comes, but he's distrustful that he is going to get paid because somebody told him, no, these guys are going to take your money. And the first time he gets his money, you can see the relief that, hold on, it wasn't a lie. These guys are actually going to pay me for this work. Yeah. But you have to trust first. But be careful of who you listen to, because they will instill a fear in you that is unfounded and not true. But it's a fear that is the thing that is it's the basis of the origin of crime. And I believe that is why there is so many times written in the word, do not fear. Because it's the fear that is there. The fear that if you sow, you're not going to harvest. So instead of sowing, you hold on to your 2 rand and you don't harvest because your fear and your doubt is your enemy. Any case, we can have another discussion about that. I think our time is up, Freek. I don't know how you compress that last 8 minutes into that extra 8 minutes into the hour program. Do you make the talking quicker, or how do you do that? But I'm glad you're in control, Freek. Thank you very much for a great meeting this morning, guys. We start off with going in one direction, and then it's always so awesome. I'm always very concerned. Yeah, 4 o'clock on a Thursday morning, that the Holy Spirit is not going to show up, and we're going to be left to just talk to each other. The Holy Spirit guides us. I believe this with my whole heart, and it is just awesome to be around the table, and to just talk about these things. I hope there's some word for somebody there, and some wisdom for somebody there. And that we add value. So thank you very much for this awesome morning. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Transformation Table, where we talk about God's business.